Why don't we rent a video tonight?
It's Wick. It's the movie seller. We got a VHS collection, an internet connection, and uninformed opinions. But here's my opinion. Hey yo, Chris can't swim. Dan's a little creepy. He's likely to talk shit about your peepee. He's cutting logs on fire like a tiki. Damn, George, your motherfucking reeking. How much you smoke, how many edibles you eat, man? When you sleep, it's incredible you can speak. You're on the phone with the devil's letters preach. Chris at your home, expecting all the leaks. A leader army, gods of the show forever. Come take the title, come with a stack of better. The saint, about the cheddar, the saint. That fucking clever, it's just a few fellas. Picking up from the letter, shout out to Dopey Nation. Shout out to fucking Trevor, thank you for the donation. Your path is next level. We sell it, brother, with felons. And telling Keller to Helen, you pick him. It's the movie seller.
All right. Welcome to the movie seller, where we have a VHS collection, an internet connection, and uninformed opinions.
We are like if Pauly Shore had a haunted house. Like, it started out like, I'm going to be sassy and silly. And then I was like, I'm going to be a slightly creepy announcer.
I don't know. I just, listen, we've like done so many of these episodes that I don't even know what the fuck to do anymore.
I'm not even saying it in a bad way. Like, that's what it sounds like. But, like, I'm in for it. I don't fucking do the intros. I like the variety.
Yeah, well, good. Welcome to the Movie Seller Variety Show. We're brought to you by the gods of the show, Alita Army! Hey! Yeah. And my name is Dan.
I'm George.
And that's the crew for this episode. Producer Chris is a busy man. He's a busy man. He's got fucking home remodeling going on, and he's running after a small child and doing his work shit and like just fucking busting ass, building muscle, busting ass, and fucking taking names. So, you know, we said, dude, we can carry this one. We can carry this one.
I didn't say that. You said that for me, but I said it for you.
But I believe in us. George. I'm here. I believe in us. Do you believe in us?
I'm here the same as I would be if he was here. So, you know, like, I haven't done anything different.
Right. This is true. This is true. But do you believe that we can do it? That's what I'm asking you. That's what I want to know.
That's a lot of commitment, man.
Well, we're here. We're committed. It's happening.
Man. I don't know if I want to commit. This feels like a religious thing.
No religion. Speaking of religion, I've been listening to Last Podcast on the Left, and they are doing a series right now on fucking, what the fuck, Anton LaVey. You know that dude?
Yeah, man.
Dude,
yeah,
stop.
I do.
Listen.
The fucking wizard.
Here's the problem, okay? Here's the problem. When it's just the two of us, you're going to have to respond to everything I say.
And you're going to have smoke, man. I just had to wait a second.
All right. Well, that's what I'm trying to tell you. You can't be smoking. You can't be mid-smoke. Like, you're just going to have to wait, man. Just wait.
You know what? You're just going to have to fucking wait, man. If I'm going to smoke, I'm going to smoke.
You know I'm going to go on, like, some long fucking tangent. At that point, just fucking smoke up, you know?
I will smoke then as well.
Smoke two joints in the morning. Smoke two joints at night. Smoke two joints before I smoke two joints, and it makes me feel all right. Right?
Fucking right, man.
That's sublime, man. That's some good shit.
Yeah. I'm digging it.
I need to crack this Monster energy drink open. Dude, I am like, it takes way too long for me to set up all the equipment every time we record, but I am so cozy. Like, I'm sitting in the yellow chair. I got my knees up. I got my sweats on, and I'm just so fucking relaxed, man. I got a coffee going, and now I'm going to do a little Monster Energy drink action. They do not sponsor the show, unfortunately. They haven't heard of us yet, but
I mean, I got their fucking can flattened out and framed on my wall.
Yeah, man. We got like 400 new followers through that. So that was fucking...
That was nuts. That was nuts. Fucking Facebook. What is it? Like some Facebook group where you find shit?
It was like weird secondhand finds. Dude, I got to tell you this, though. I have a really hard time opening soda cans. I make my kids do it when they're in the room, but they're not right now.
Why is that? Because I chew my fingernails
too short, and then I can't... Can't pull it up.
You got a credit card or a pencil or
credit
just like
card?
Literally
you
any
got
fucking
it.
Flat surface right there.
I don't. That's the problem. That's what I'm saying.
Use a fucking Ninja Turtle foot, man.
I gotta find something. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm just gonna do this.
Grab a magnet off. No, don't use your teeth. You're gonna fuck those, man.
I'm not gonna fuck my teeth. Who would want to fuck teeth? Nobody wants to fuck teeth.
Yeah, that sounds terrible.
Yeah, exactly.
But don't you just have like why don't you have like you know those the bottle openers that have like the can opener built into the back of it?
I have
like you get on like keychains and shit. Just get like one of those magnet ones and just put it on that filing cabinet right behind you.
That's a great idea. Listen, I haven't been in this setup very long, so you know, I haven't thought too much about what I need to do to make it work, but that's a good idea.
You got your globe full of snacks, man?
No, because I can't eat snacks anymore.
Right, because your diet. You skinny fuck.
No, I do eat snacks. I've been eating a shitload of ice cream.
You got like a bunch of pork rinds and shit?
No, I'm not low-carbing, man. Low-carbing's bullshit. No, I've been eating a ton of ice cream, man. So, there's like a few brands of light ice cream that's really fucking good. The one that I've been eating is called Nyx. It's like...
Oh, I've heard of that.
Yeah,
I've heard
dude.
Really good things.
So like you get a pint and like the pint that I like the most is the mint chocolate chip. But they have like a shitload of different flavors. But like the mint chocolate chip, it's 280 calories for the whole pint, man.
For the whole fucking pint?
Yes. Yes. So
man, I'm gonna start eating that shit for breakfast.
I don't eat it for breakfast.
Or you just get that at Hanny's?
Yeah, Hannaford has like four flavors. The chocolate's really, really good. So the thing with the light ice creams is like, I think they make them with like skim milk. So some of them taste really like icy. You know what I mean? Like not creamy.
Oh yeah, they don't have the creaminess to them.
Yeah, but the Nyx is what's up, man. I'm telling you, if you want to go with the light ice cream, Nyx is, dude. A pint of Ben and Jerry's is like 1,000 calories, just to give you a point of example.
Not only that, it's like $500.
Yes. Well, the Nyx is not cheap either. It's like,
yeah,
at Hannaford,
so
it's like $450. But Shaw's has like 10 different flavors. And I really like, they have the pistachio, which I'm a big fan of.
Man, fuck pistachios.
Dude, you can't fuck a pistachio. How would you do that? Just like put it in your urethra.
to hell with a pistachio.
Does that count as fucking if you put something in your urethra? Does that count? That would be it fucking you, right?
That, man. Oh. You know what I miss?
What do you miss?
I miss your story, man. I miss your fan story.
You know
I was just
funny?
Thinking about like them going down the river, and I was like, "Oh man, is something gonna crawl up its piss in the river?" Like, you know what I mean? Like
yes.
Those little like,
yeah, the little
micro
like,
shrimp bitches or whatever,
yeah,
that
dude.
Climb up your piss stream if you piss in the river.
Exactly, man. Right in your urethra. That's
those
not
are
good.
Some fast fucking swimmers, man.
Well, I mean, not as fast as the swimmers that swim out, if you know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying.
Sperm.
I followed along.
Talking about sperm.
It was a straight line.
Anyway, I don't even know. Okay, so I got to tell you this, dude. All right. You know what I've got going on here?
No, I don't. You haven't told me yet.
Let's see if I can do this. Move this.
Do it.
Without fucking anything up.
Move it. What are you talking about? Oh, the camera? Are you watching the movie right now?
I'm watching the movie while we record.
You fucker.
That's good, right?
How many times have you watched this movie this week?
Okay, so I don't want to give away what movie it is yet.
I didn't say the title. I said how many
I know,
times you
but
this movie
my
this week?
Answer to you is going to be kind of like, I'll expand on it more when I do reveal the movie.
You can't just say like 7?
I would say four times, but the expanded universe, it's like all I've watched this past week is the expanded universe of this film.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah, you know what
I'm saying?
All right.
Man.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm good.
What's great is all three of the picks have expanded universes. So that doesn't actually give anything away. Okay, though, you didn't respond to that at all. What are you doing to me, man?
I forgot I was supposed to talk. I was waiting for someone.
No, it's just us, man. It's just the two of us. Just the two of us.
That's on me.
Anyway, but you get it, right? Because, like, all three of them. Yeah. Okay, so before we get there, though, we talked a bunch in the last episode. First of all, if you haven't listened to our last episode, I'm talking to you specifically, George, but also I am talking to the audience.
I have not.
If you haven't listened to our last episode, it's a good fucking episode. We had Steve on.
I enjoyed making that episode, but I have not listened yet.
You should, man. It was good. I played it back, and I really enjoyed listening. But yeah, we had Steve, my buddy Steve, on because we're doing these spotlight episodes for people who are helping us out with Trash Bash 2021.
Thank you, Steve.
Yeah, so Steve's doing some more art for us. We got some other artists that I'm hoping to get on. I'm hoping we can get on the guys from Dungeon Entertainment before, because, you know, like, they're a huge partner in this. It's like their fucking movies we're showing.
Do they have another movie out?
Dude, I think they've done two more since the trilogy.
Man,
of Trash.
These guys, their rate of production is
prolific,
just blowing me away.
They're releasing fucking movies as quickly as we're releasing shitty podcasts. So
I know, like, how?
I know, like, that takes a lot
just
more
the
work.
Creativity involved.
I know.
Not to mention the fucking scheduling and the actual doing it and, like, the putting it together and the putting it, just the fucking creativity of it is more than I've got.
I know. Well, considering, like, this is our product, and it's literally just us talking to each other almost entirely unedited at the end of the day. And that's enough work in itself. So the fact that they're, like, getting together, like, okay, we got to figure out how to make blood, and we got to figure out how to shoot these scenes, and we got to figure out how to explode this head and all this shit. Yeah, dude. They're, like, I think they've made 5 movies in the last, like, less than 18 months. So, that's legit, dude.
Man, Dungeon Entertainment. Like, these guys and gals.
Yeah.
This group of people.
These folks.
They are... I hope that this turns into something just fantastic for them. Because they are putting in so much work.
Yeah. Dude,
and they're
awesome.
And they are just being badass.
And, like, as far as, like, Trash Bash is concerned, dude, they've been so fucking cool. They're working on some, like, really cool poster stuff for me that looks like, the best way to describe it is, like, an old school punk show, like that kind of poster.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, yeah, like a zine kind of flyer, you know?
Oh, man, that's exciting.
Yeah, yeah, so they're doing that. They have volunteered to send me a bunch of copies of the film on DVD to give out to people. The films, not to mention the fact that they're letting us play their films, and they're going to do, like, fucking intro videos for the films for us. So, like, dude, they're, like, really, like, I pitched it to them hoping they would let us show the movies. And, like, you know, I thought that would be more than generous of them. And then,
yeah,
you know, I pitched it to them and they were like, fucking no way, man.
They like jumped on it, man.
They're full on into it, man. They are partners. I genuinely consider them partners in this.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
they've done way more than I have.
Well, we, like, you can include, I'll include you in the movie seller work. We have done a lot of work. So but yeah, we've got a bunch more stickers this week too from different shows. They've sent them to me. I ordered a movie seller t-shirt to throw in the raffle. So, there'll be
one, man?
The VHS one. So the one that I have,
the classic.
Yeah. The one that annoys Chris, 'cause the tape's just a little crooked. I think it was Chris, or was it you? Because the tape's just, so the tape is cocked just a little to the side.
Oh, right. And I wanted it cocked slightly more to make it more like.
Yeah, you're like, it's not turned enough. You're like, either make it straight or turn it more. But
yeah,
I
was
the
like,
way it was because I thought that was,
you know, a clear path, man.
Yeah.
A deliberate turn.
A clear path. I feel like that's the second time you've mentioned clear path tonight. I think once was before we started like doing the show.
I've been reading Dune, man.
Okay, that's what it is.
I'm almost done book two.
Nice.
I mean, I fucking love this series. Like, this is the second time I've read through this series.
Are you going to read the whole fucking thing? Isn't it
absolutely
like 15 books or something?
18. I've got 18 books.
You have all 18 of them?
I do.
Dude, we're going to have to either get together or you're going to have to mail them to me because I'd like to read.
Absolutely, man. Are you still on Lord of the Rings?
Yeah.
Like, do I have time
to
finish?
Oh, yeah. I'm almost through Fellowship.
Okay, well, because I'm almost on the second one. So if I can get done the third one.
Yeah, the third one's the one that I need, so.
Yeah, so I can get done the third one while you're finishing up Lord of the Rings.
The second one really changes the vibe of the first one.
Changes everything.
Changes everything.
It feels a bit more rushed. You can tell that the first one was really just like a super passion, and the second one is just like, let's make this shit crazy. But honestly, it's the series is just amazing.
Yeah, well,
like,
I've never read
every single. There's not a single one of the books that I'm like, man, I wish I could have just skipped this one, or
yeah,
you know, this one didn't get me stuff. Like every single one of them gets me more into this world.
That's exciting, man. I'm excited then to read more because like the first one blew me away. The second one really kind of like it didn't like turn me off from it, but it definitely made me think like, oh, this is different than I thought it was going to be. Like this world is a little more complex than I thought it was from the first book. And so I'm excited to check out some more of them. You recommended the Dark Tower series to me, and I really loved those, too. So I'm definitely into it, man. Check it out. So that's not even what I was going to talk about, though. I was going to talk. What the fuck was I talking about? Oh, I don't know how we got to where we are, but the Ninja Turtles episode. Go listen if you haven't listened. I got my copy of The Last Ronin in today.
That's exciting, man.
Dude,
is that the third?
No. The first one. So I got if you listen to the episode, I ordered a first print of the first one on eBay.
Oh, right. You ordered the first print. When does the third book come out?
I think not until May. It's like,
oh, man.
I looked at the pre-order and I feel like the pre-order said it was May. So I'm going to try to get it at my local comic book store. And not order it on eBay because I don't want to pay shipping. But I don't know if they'll let me even pull it because I had a pull list there and then I stopped going. I was a dick. I stopped going, and that's a dick move to not tell them that you're gonna stop going when you have a pull list because they pull
right,
books
they
for
save
you.
All that.
Yeah.
So they probably order like one extra, knowing that they've got the sale and hold it.
I don't know that they order extra. I hope not. I just think that they don't sell it. And so then they've got to try to sell
it. You did that, but it's not like you were like going there for like 3 weeks, got yourself on the list and then quit. Like you've been going to that bookstore for like
a couple years,
several years.
Yeah. Yeah. A few years. I mean, and
longer than you've had some of your kids.
That's the shop that I bought my Turtles Volume 1, Issue 1 from. So they've definitely got their fair share of money out of me. So I don't feel too bad. But anyway, it's good. It's very good. I highly recommend if anybody hasn't read it to check it out. I recommend that
Speaking
you check
of
it
pre-orders,
out. George, you haven't checked it out yet, have you?
I haven't. Well, I like Googled it and stuff and it looks awesome. So I
read
I
it on
I
the
gotta
do your boys have a Kindle Fire?
No.
Oh, because I was going to say if they do, like I don't like to read on a Kindle Fire because I like the Paperwhite because the Fire is backlit and the Paperwhite is frontlit. Like if you were reading a book, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But with the exception of comic books. Reading comic books on the fire, the Kindle Fire, is not bad.
Is that because comic books are such high gloss?
Yeah, plus they're like colored and everything, and it's like the only way to you can't read colored stuff on a paper white.
So the Kindle must make it look like high def, like giving it that backlight.
It looks really good, and also like it has really good functionality, like especially these big production companies, like, you know, like IDW or Marvel or DC, like their books are super interactive on the Kindle, to where you can like double click on panels and it like zooms the panel in, and like you can go
slide from, cool,
not just page to page, but like panel to panel. And it's like intuitive enough to know which panel to go to next, even though they're not always structured, you know, exactly left to right, top to bottom.
Right.
So yeah, man, it's definitely the easiest way to read it. I like to collect physical media, so I needed to have it, but it's worth checking out. Anyway.
Well, you were another pre-order?
Yeah.
I'm super excited about the new Zayo CD.
Yeah, dude. Me too. Me too, man. It looks... I don't know. Have you heard there's like a 60-second preview?
The snippet, man?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's dope. It's dope.
Really good.
It brings in some 90s vibes. Like, yes. 90s Zayo specifically. 90s Zayo, vibes. Yes.
Yeah, dude. I had the same thought.
And it was like... But like modernized.
Yeah, it's got that kind of like real like dirty sound, almost like the like some of the newer hardcore, you know, like Code Orange or like Jesus Peace, like, I don't know, it's got a little bit of that kind of energy to it.
It's got some rawness.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, there's something about Zayo, like every Zayo album sounds like a Zayo album. Yeah. But like it's not like every August Burns Red album sounds like, you know what I mean? Like,
well, every August Burns Red album sounds like the same album. That's the difference.
not all of them. I mean, a couple of them stand out, but
yeah, Thrill Seeker. You know,
that one's good. I mean, that one's really good. But it's just some bands, you know, you end up having a hard time remembering like which songs on which album.
Oh, or, like, no, feeling I mean, its own. Oh, with, but, like, Zayo,
Zayo's
though,
albums,
man,
are all individual, yeah, but they're all so Zayo.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know what? Like, this band doesn't sound anything like Zayo, but definitely in the same vein as that. Like, the Smashing Pumpkins, right? Like,
yeah,
you
know.
A song...
They are unique, yeah, but consistent.
Like, you know a song is from, like, Siamese Dream or from Gish or from, like, Melancholy, because those albums are, like, very thought-out units of music, you know? Mm-hmm. But every, like, they all are Smashing Pumpkins songs, you know, like very distinctly,
yeah,
Smashing Pumpkins songs. So it's a lot like that with Zayo, except for, I mean, obviously the Smashing Pumpkins are way more famous and more well known than Zayo, but Zayo has had a much longer career of quality content. I mean, the Pumpkins had like three amazing albums, two okay albums, and then just shit since then. So
I don't know anything since then.
So there's Siamese Dream, Gish, and or Gish, Siamese Dream, and Melancholy, and then
I've got those.
I would say Adore is okay, and Machine of the Machines of God is okay.
Oh, I think I have both of those as well.
And then after that, it was like just junk. Just Billy Corgan trying to recapture the magic. And it's like, you can't, man. And that's what Zayo does well. Is like, they're not trying to recapture anything. They're just moving forward.
No, man. They've got like this wonderful blue collar vibe. They're like, we're doing us.
Yeah.
We're not trying to do anything. Not us. We're not trying to grab the masses. We're not trying to like get in everyone's pockets. Like, we're just gonna be us. We don't care what what's in right now.
Right.
We're just going to make it just sounds like a bunch of guys just hanging out, playing their own thing, doing their own thing.
But like at the same time, like they're not worried about what's in right now, but they're also like not afraid to like move forward with their music. Like, you get a lot of bands that have been around for 20 years. If a band's been around for 20 years, they're usually not super open to, like, I mean, listen to a new Terror song or a new Madball song. It's like, it sounds exactly like every other Terror song or Madball song. But, like, you listen to New Zeo, and it's like, they're always trying to push the envelope, push themselves.
They have no formula. They somehow.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like taking every flavor of soda and being like, oh, yeah, Coke makes this, Coke makes this, Coke makes this. And they're like nothing alike. Like, they can just do whatever they want and they still have that Zeo sound.
Yep.
Even when so much changes.
Yep.
I'm so excited to see what happens.
I know, dude. I'm stoked on this album. I'm very stoked on this album. You know what else is super cool about it is Danny is really excited about this album.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, he loves Zeo. And so I told him that this was coming out, and he was like, oh, I can't wait. And then he's been asking me, when's it coming out, Papa? When's it coming out? So, yeah, dude, it's cool to, like, start getting him into stuff like that. What I really can't wait for is when he starts showing me stuff, you know?
Yeah, that's going to be cool.
Because, like, that's, you know, that's the whole point to raise a kid who's into music is like, hey, you can be a new source for me because I don't fucking know what's, I'm almost 40. Like, I don't fucking know what's, I'm talking about bands that have been around for 25 years. Like, tell me what's new. Tell me what's going on, you know?
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's exciting. Have you pre-ordered or are you just going to wait?
The pre-order isn't open until the 5th.
All right. The 5th of March.
Yeah. So by the time this comes out, I will have pre-ordered.
Oh, you're pre-ordering it day of. Do you know if they're doing like packs, like different, like,
I don't know, because it doesn't show on the website. Yeah. They're doing it through Holy Mountain Printing. Okay. Where you can get, like, all their shirts and stuff. That's where I get my shirts and stuff from them.
Dude, but, do you feel weird getting
shirts? It's not on their website yet. So on Zeo's Instagram, it was like pre-orders start, you know,
on the
3/5.
Yep.
So I'm assuming all that stuff will be posted then. And then the album comes out April 9th. So it's like my birthday gift.
Dude, that's awesome. That's a great birthday gift.
Right?
Yeah, so that's all the more reason to, like, get, like, a kit, you know, with the shirt and...
Oh, if they do that, for sure, man.
Yeah. I love that. Sure. I love that they do those. Like, I think that's a great way to keep people, like, you know, engaged in, like, buying, like, physical stuff, you know?
Yeah.
But... Because, like, I think with the Greenery's last album, which was, like, a million years ago, I realized. But, like, I got one of those with the vinyl and the digital download and the T-shirt. So, yeah, I was stoked on that. But, anyway, do you feel weird when you buy shirts online instead of at shows?
I do.
Yeah.
I do. I used to like, have this weird obsession with, I would not wear a shirt that I didn't actually get at a show. And I don't know why I was like that. Cause
you feel like no you earned it, man. It's like your trophy, you know, it's like if you wear a shirt that you didn't put in the work for,
right. If you didn't get punched in the face for the shirt, like, right. is it even a shirt?
If you didn't wear it through your belt loop, you know, then
exactly. If you haven't bled on this or like soaked it in beer,
that's right.
Yeah,
it has. It
that's not gone. Yours.
That's right. Did you also? I'm trying to remember. I mean, I don't know that we've ever said this, but like, I have always made a point to not wear a band's shirt to their show. Have you ever worn a band shirt to their show?
I think I have tried not to. I've worn a band shirt to a show like the night before they were on, if it was like a multiple show thing.
Okay, yeah, like a festival.
Like when we were in Philly, I wore a Zeo shirt, but that wasn't the night that Zeo was playing.
Dude, it would have been hard in Philly to not wear a shirt of a band that was playing on any given. I mean, it's like
that's true.
15 bands playing in a day, like.
Oh, there were more than that.
I know, dude.
Like 15 on just one, you know, one part.
I know, dude. That's fucking crazy. Dude, I miss shows so much. I miss shows so much.
Is the Palladium going to survive this? Are they going to be around when this is over?
I mean, so much
shit's getting shut down.
I know that, like, Maine is trying to do stuff to help their venues, and I know the Palladium was trying to get people to, like, sign petitions to get Massachusetts to help their venues. So I hope so, man. I hope so. It's the only place that you can get, like, the big, I mean, you know, how many bands have we seen at the Palladium, you know?
So many.
I can't count
the times that I've been there.
I mean, I've been going to shows there since I was, like, 15, so. I don't know, dude. I don't know. We'll have we're getting close. We're getting close. And they haven't said that they're not reopening. I know that I think the state, is it the state or is it Port City isn't reopening?
I thought it was Port City, but I'm not sure.
I think it's Port City, which is a bummer. But, I mean,
I liked Port City better than the state.
It was a nicer venue, but the state you can get more people into. Yeah, exactly. So, anyway, nobody cares about our local venues. Let's we're doing the M episode. You ready to do this?
Sure, man. I've been ready.
You been ready, huh? You born ready. Dude, the list of movies, I don't know how to fucking talk, man. The list of M movies.
The choices this time?
The ballot. That was the word I was looking for. The M ballot was fucking strong, man. Strong. Probably our best one yet, man. Honestly.
It was tight, and they were all good choices.
Yeah.
And I almost didn't vote for mine. Like, I wanted to vote for another one because, you know, I wish I could have picked that.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. Well, man. Let's, okay. Well, first of all, Chris's pick was, I was really proud of him for picking this. I thought it was a great pick. It kind of came out of nowhere for
me. Has he seen it? Like, is this like one that's been on his list that he hasn't seen that he was like, let's watch it? Or
I don't know, man.
Something.
But
Chris.
Yeah,
tell
Chris,
us in
tell
the
us.
Comments.
Tell it. You're on Twitter. I mean, he's been so busy, hasn't he? Really
I'm
been
not
on
Twitter,
but anyway, I don't know if you've seen it or not. But Mad Max, man, that was a great pick.
Fucking love that. The whole, you know, extra universe that created, like the Mad Max series.
Oh
is
yeah,
just,
dude.
It's badass,
dude.
Man.
Have you seen Fury Road?
Is that
the newer one
with like the guitar guy on the truck and
where they just fucking go balls out. Like they're just like, fuck it. Like, let's just fucking go.
Yeah. And Bane is the dude, right?
Like, yeah. Yes. Tom Hardy.
Yeah. Tom Hardy.
Yeah, dude. It's
that's it. I mean, it carries on the tradition of Mad Max very well. Like
it does.
The Mad Maxes have some grit and some just ballsy action,
but
and
it's
some,
funny.
You know, don't fuck with me. Like calmness.
What's funny is like how they just kind of like the first one feels kind of crazy, but then you get to the second one, you're like, oh, the first one wasn't shit, and then you get to fucking, you know, Thunderdome, and you're like, what
right?
the fuck, man? The first movie feels like it's just, I don't know, fucking
mundane.
Barney. I know
the first one feels mundane compared to the third one.
I know, but then
and Fury Road makes them all seem tame.
I know.
Dude. Like it's just a wonderful escalation.
It really is. It really is. So that was a really good pick, and I don't know why I wasn't even thinking of that when I was trying to pick mine.
He said that before we ever even started talking about
it. I know,
it.
But like I was thinking about the movies before.
Yeah, I never do.
So anyway, that was his pick, and then I think
that's what I wanted to vote for.
My
man.
Pick is next. My pick was another. It would be the second.
It was another M movie
installment in the View Askew universe. That is Kevin Smith's universe. This was.
Did you just say the View Askew universe?
That's what it's called, the View Askew universe.
I knew it was View Askew Productions. I didn't realize that they had that other name.
Yeah, well, so View Askew is the production company, and the universe built by them is called the View Askew Universe.
Right. Yeah, that's
because they all tie together.
That's interesting.
So we've done the first movie, Clerks, And this is actually the second movie they made the next year, Mallrats. So that was my pick. Honestly, I picked last.
But were they so. They were already making the next one, weren't they? Like while they were making this one?
Chasing Amy.
Was that the next one?
That was the next one. And then Dogma was after that. I don't know, man. I don't know if they were working. I mean, I think Chasing Amy came out in like 96 or 97 at the latest. It was shortly after. But I don't know if they were working on them simultaneously or not. I don't think so, because they were made by different production companies. But either way, yeah, we've started that journey with Kevin Smith. And so I figured, why not keep that going? So I threw Mallrats out there. Also, George and Chris had both already picked and made really, really stellar picks. And so I needed to put something up there that I thought had a chance.
You know what? This was probably the hardest pick of the year.
Yeah.
Because M is just such a stacked letter. Like,
it is.
There are some letters, you know, you don't have many choices.
No, I know. When we get to
get
X,
what you get.
When we get to X, I honestly don't know how we're going to pick three different movies. So, especially because we're going to not be able to redo a movie we've already done. So I know there's like Triple X and X-Men, but outside of that, I don't know. I'll have to figure that out when we get there. But, anyway, what was your M pick, George?
The Matrix. Some fucking blue pill, red pill shit. Like, what you gonna pick, man?
Dude, that movie fucking blew my mind when I was like 16 years old, man. Fucking blew my mind.
That was definitely a hard hitter. I remember, I want to say it was your Uncle David that exposed me to The Matrix.
Saying uncle and exposed in the same sentence is not a choice that I would make.
That's not... Uncle David, I'm sorry. That is, I did not want to imply that by any means. You informed me of an excellent movie.
Yeah, yeah, no. I think you said it okay. It's just, I had to make it creepy, you know, because that's my reputation. Which, by the way, I told Scott last week, I was like, dude, you got to call me Dirty Dan. I like that way better. And he said, and he responded and let me know that Dirty Dan is toning it down too much, that it's going to stay Creepy Dan. And, you know, so whatever. Fuck it. I'll embrace it. But
or you could just, like, tone it down slightly to match the name.
No, dude. We're doing this Mad Max style. We're going the other way. All right?
All right.
Yeah, yeah. We're going Fury Road on this shit. The Matrix, though, man. Yeah, I watched that with the Panettis. Most of the cool movies I saw when I was a kid, I watched with them. They introduced me to like fucking Empire Records.
A good movie.
And The Matrix, and I don't know, a bunch of other cool shit. But anyway, yeah, dude, that was a good pick. Why'd you pick The Matrix?
Yeah, man. Well, because Chris picked Mad Max.
Yep. And he set the bar,
before
man. He set the
before
bar.
We talked about it. Exactly. Yeah. He set the bar so high. Like, I had a list when I looked through. I swear it was, like, 23 or 24 movies that I was like, this is what I picked out of, like, the 5 billion M movies. Yeah. And I've got to whittle this down for my pick. And I eventually got to 3 movies, and I just had Stephanie just pick blindly.
So when you say blindly, were you like, did you number them 1, 2, and 3 and just tell her to pick a number, or did she actually?
I think I said A, B, or C.
Okay, so literally like just a random pick.
Exactly. No, 1, 2, 3 makes more sense. I don't say A, B, C. What the fuck am I on? Yeah, but she had no idea. She didn't even know which movies I was mulling over.
Yeah,
like I did not tell her the titles at all. It's the one that she would have picked out of the three. So,
I mean, what did you remember? You asked me what I thought before you asked her. You're like, would you go with this one or that one? And I was like, it really depends. Like, and I've done this. Like, you can make a statement pick which says, I just want to expose that I like this movie. Like, for me, when we did K, I picked Knight Riders. Like, I knew it wasn't going to win. But I wanted to make it my pick because I like that movie a lot.
I'm going to interrupt you on something way cooler.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that new George Romero? Is that not new, but is the George Romero movie that has never been out before? Is that out now?
So it's not out yet, but it's going to be releasing to Shudder this summer. They haven't given an official day yet, but yeah, The Amusement Park, which is supposed to be like this, this like psychological thriller where you're kind of like walking along through the experience of like this senile sort of this old man with dementia who's like going through an amusement park by himself and he's like lost.
Oh, that sounds
And it gets terrifying. It gets really fucked up. So apparently the Lutheran Church commissioned Romero to make this film. So if you remember, So if you remember way back to our Romero series, after they did Night of the Living Dead, they made a couple movies that were duds and they ran out of money. And so they started doing, that's when they did those like sports documentaries, like the OJ Simpson one.
Oh yeah. 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 You told me about that.
It was in that same time in like the mid-70s that they, were approached by the Lutheran Church to make this movie about like I want to say about like ageism and shit, like basically like we need to care more about our elderly. That was what they went to Romero with. They said we need to make a movie to show that we got to care about the elderly, and this was the movie that he made,
and he took full advantage of that. Said, I'm gonna make this crazy amazing thing.
Exactly. And they watched it and they were like, what in the actual fuck did you make? They were like, we can't attach our name to this. This is fucking crazy. So, so it never got released. And then,
you know what's bullshit?
What's bullshit?
It's to raise awareness to help the elderly.
Yeah.
But they don't want to attach their name to it. So does that make it not valid to raise awareness because they don't want to put their name to it? Like, could it be released?
No.
You know, without their name attached to it,
they own like, the rights to it, I think, is why it wasn't released.
I know
released
they didn't
so
have
long.
To attach their name to it. They could have just made the money and used it to help the elderly.
I know, but it would have gotten out. It did get out like 30, 40 years later. It has gotten out that they were attached to it. 50 years later. Fuck. But anyway, it's supposed to be really fucking insane. And if you like watch his movies from this time period,
do you know when it was filmed?
I want to say 73. So at this time he's doing like Martin and the Crazies, like some of his much more like, I don't know, weird shit. So I'm very excited to see this. It's supposed to be, like I said, Shudder has it. They've acquired the rights to it, and they're going to be streaming it at some point this summer. So that's very exciting. I'm glad you brought that up. That is very exciting.
Man.
And we'll talk stoked more about it when it gets closer, because I'll definitely be excited about it, and I'll probably want to talk about it after I watch it. But what I was saying about Knight Riders is like I knew it wasn't going to win. And so when you told me your M movies, I was like, well, George, I mean, one of these movies has a chance against Mad Max, and one of these movies definitely does not. And so you need to decide if you want to make a statement pick or you want to make a pick that could actually win. And so you decided to take a third route, which was to leave it up to fate. But leaving it up to fate played in your favor because...
Well, it didn't.
Well, don't say that yet. But the point is, you put up a movie that had a chance.
I did,
because
man.
What was
the other Matrix
movie?
That's a girthy beast.
Yeah. I mean, that movie, that's one of those movies that, like, I feel like the rest of the franchise has really pulled it down. But when you stand it on its own, it is a very, very good movie, especially considering the time it came out when, like, the internet was in its infancy and like people weren't really sure what to like think about it. And, you know, yeah, it was a perfect movie for its time. Really fucking mind blowing. And not to mention like what they did with special effects and how it was another one of those movies that just changed the industry, you know?
Yeah, it definitely has its place in history for a reason.
I mean, no action movie that has come out since The Matrix has not been like every movie that's come out since The Matrix has been influenced by The Matrix, like without question.
Oh yeah. I mean, and it's been used as direct influence for, you know, so many spoofs and so many like callbacks, you know.
Yeah. But like the pause and like rotate around and shit like that, you see that it is like proliferated that whole genre. But that was all born from The Matrix. It even kind of brought like martial arts back into like mainstream movies in a way that wasn't right. super popular at the time. But anyway, what was the other movie that you were considering? The one that...
the statement piece was Meet the Feebles.
Yeah,
man.
It was. Could have gone with another Peter Jackson movie.
Man, I mean, to just go from Lord of the Rings to Meet the Feebles would have been such a glorious transition.
Yeah, just, that would have been something.
I mean, Peter Jackson at his most epically beautiful and in-depth, like serious view on some awesome content.
Yeah.
And right before that, Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. So if anyone doesn't know, Meet the Feebles, what is Meet the Feebles, George?
Meet the Feebles is a fucking nasty Muppet movie. Like it's Muppet characters and it's a quick rundown. It's a, like they do, like Broadway plays, like musicals and dance numbers and stuff. And it's their first night going like live recording on TV. And like the characters all have this crazy drama. Like there's like the fat woman that sings, what is she, like a hippo? And she's got crazy drama of like wants to be the lead, most important part of everything. Then you got a character that is literally a fly. He's a reporter and he's a fly and he lands on shit in a bathroom to like interview this guy. Like, oh man, the sodomy song.
Yes.
I mean, this movie is just so, so crass. Every second of this movie,
it's just trash. It's
is
such
some
trash.
Form of debauchery.
I mean, he made another movie called Bad Taste. I feel like this movie would have been more appropriately titled Bad Taste than that movie. I feel like this is in worse taste than that movie.
Man, Bad Taste is one of my favorite movies of all time.
It's a very good movie.
But Meet the Feebles, like, if you can take Meet the Feebles, I mean, you're a different kind of person.
I don't think, I don't think that it's, like, so debaucherous that it's, like, it's like offends my sensibilities.
Well,
but
it's that mixed with the fact that it's fucking Muppets,
it's
mixed with like the movie
bad.
Quality. Like there's
the movie
it's
quality
so aggressively bad.
To me, that's the thing. That's the sin that's so hard to get past is like the movie quality is so fucking bad. It is. It's trash. It is a trash film. In all its glory, you know,
it's like, amazingly bad.
Yes, it is.
I mean, just YouTube the sodomy song.
Yeah, yep.
I'm not telling you, Dan, because you've seen it.
I know. I'm agreeing with you, man.
I'm telling our listeners. I know you know. I'm just specifying.
Yeah, fucking go listen to that. Cause...
just the sodomy song. That's the, in my opinion, the opus or the highlight.
Of
that movie.
But you didn't pick it. You picked The Matrix. Well, fate picked The Matrix through your wife.
Exactly.
And I think that was a strong pick. It was actually a very strong pick because the three movies that we put up, they scored, the winner won by 4 votes and that was over the 2 other films that tied. So all 3 were very,
tight.
Very close. Yeah. Yep. And if Chris were more active on social media over the last week, he would have probably won because I don't know that he voted at all. But nonetheless, the movie that
he lost himself this week.
He did. The movie that won was my movie, Mallrats. 45 votes to 40
is a good movie, but it beat Mad Max and The Matrix.
Yeah.
And as good of a movie as that is, and as much of a following as Kevin Smith and the Askewniverse or whatever,
the Viewiskewniverse, yeah.
I mean, Mad Max and The Matrix, man, are fucking epic movies.
They put up a good fight, but maybe people don't want to hear us talk about epic movies because we just got done with some pretty fucking epic movies. And it's funny because, like, that was the thing I definitely thought about when we went in, like, when I was watching this and I was thinking about, like, how to talk about it and stuff, is, like, man, cinema can be so many different things, you know? And what you get out of, like, Clerks and Mallrats is such a different experience than what you get out of Lord of the Rings. And I know that they're both movies and they both tell stories, but they're just such different
animals. It is not
the
same thing, man.
I know. It's and it's really interesting. And they're both, like, really great experiences and, like, really entertaining. And, like, they're, you know, they both are worth your time, but they're just both such just different animals, you know? So it's cool. It's kind of cool to go, because if we had gone to The Matrix from Lord of the Rings, like, we would be talking about a set of movies that changed the movie industry. Then we would be going to another movie that changed the movie industry. You know what I mean? And I don't know, maybe Mad Max changed the movie industry. I didn't do enough research on it because we didn't pick it.
I'm not sure if it changed, you know, the movie industry, but it changed my life, man. Yeah.
Well, you could have voted for it, dude. And if you had voted for it, it might have won. If you had voted for it and Stephanie had voted for it, it could have won.
Man, watching Mad Max was like, once I was blind and now I can see. Like,
that's really funny. I didn't realize how strong your affinity toward it was.
Man, that was one of those movies that I watched so many times growing up, you know, like.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like the Terminator 2 movie is another one of them that, like, that was just my jam. Like, if I could put on a movie, I only had a few options.
Yep.
Mad Max was a good fucking option.
I didn't see Mad Max until much later. I saw Beyond Thunderdome a bunch, like, as a standalone movie. And then it wasn't until later when I could, like, get out and, like, buy
that
movies.
One does a good job standing on its own.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like the second one doesn't do as good of a job standing on its own,
right,
as the first or the third.
I feel like it follows a very similar trajectory to, like, the Evil Dead series, where, like...
Yeah.
Evil Dead was, like, this huge, like, wow, this movie did way better than we thought it would, you know? And I feel like Mad Max is kind of like that. And then the Road Warrior was, like, an attempt to sort of capture that, but it wasn't different enough that, like, anybody really cared a lot about it. It was good, but it, like, wasn't amazing. Right. And then they were just like, fuck it. Like, we know what people want. Let's fucking give them what they want. And that's
and
when
they
you
went
get,
ham. Man.
Exactly. In both cases, that's when you get Beyond Thunderdome and that's when you get Army of Darkness, you know? And I mean, yeah, people fucking love it. So, anyway, we're not talking about that. We're going to talk about a much more down to earth set of movies or movie, really. But I've been watching all of Kevin Smith's shit. So I it's impossible, like, that it won't bleed in, but I got to take a piss. So we're going to take a break. I'm going to take a piss. I'm going to refill my coffee and you do it's just smoke or do whatever the fuck you got to do, man. And we'll come back.
I mean, I didn't stop.
I know you didn't. Everybody knows you didn't. All right, we'll be back.
Yeah.
Dude, a baby bell? You had a baby bell?
Yeah, man, it was fucking delicious.
Dude, you gotta, like, you need like 3 or 4 of those, man.
Oh, man, I eat like 3 or 4 of those throughout the day.
You going with the red one, the sharp cheddar? That's sharp cheddar, right?
Yeah,
the red
man.
One? Yeah.
Just
yeah.
The classic.
Dude, you know what I've been, like, super into lately is the Laughing Cow cheese.
I do not like the Laughing Cow cheese. The softer cheeses, man, they don't work out for me.
It's super good on, like, So, like, I use it on burgers and, like, breakfast sandwiches and shit like that. Oh, it's almost,
you know,
like
what?
A cream cheese.
I think I have had it on a burger and enjoyed it, but I don't like it, like, on a cracker or by itself or some shit.
Yeah. No. I mean, I'm not eating it by itself. It'd be weird to just eat it like that, but it's really good on, like, a burger or something. Now I want to eat a fucking cheeseburger, man.
Dude, a cheeseburger sounds fucking great. I got some pulled pork. I'm going to make some nachos.
Dude.
Not right now because I'm in the car, but, you know.
You need to get, like, later. A little toaster oven for the car, man. The car is, like, your office. You're in there at least a couple hours a week.
Yeah. I mean, I spend more time in the week in the car for the podcast than for everything else combined.
Yeah.
Like, we don't go anywhere. Like, I just go to the grocery store occasionally.
So you need to stop calling it your car, start calling it your studio. You're like, I'm going to go drive my studio down to the grocery store.
That's a great idea. Are we recording again?
Yeah, we're recording again. We got that whole good Baby Bell talk going, which is solid
content.
Man,
it was tasty. It was tasty.
I'm glad, dude. I'm glad. You got to take care of those munchies. You got to satisfy the munchies.
I'm not usually, you know, like, if I plan ahead for munchies,
yeah,
I'll have munchies. Like, there have definitely been times that I'm like, you know what I want to do? I want to fucking go to the store, get myself a bag of, like Take Fives,
yeah,
and a couple of, like, Arizona teas, and I'm gonna get fucking baked. You know, like, that sounds great, right? Yeah. Like, I've done that a few times, you know.
Yep.
Or, like, I've made a pie and then gotten baked. That's
nice.
Been great.
Nice. You
but
baked,
like,
a
if
pi-
I
you baked a pie and then baked yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
But then, like, most of the time that I smoke, I don't plan ahead for that shit. Like,
right.
Whatever.
Snoochie boo.
And then I smoke and I'm like, nah, I'm good. I'm just chilling. I don't need anything.
I mean,
I just need more water.
Whenever
just more water.
Whenever I smoke weed, I think about how desperately I want to eat food, but I also think about how impossible it's going to be for me to get food.
Okay, so but the caveat there is that I've never met anyone that's more of a lightweight than you. Like, when you smoke weed means when you take that one hit and you're fucking wasted to the point where you don't know if your legs are going to work to get you to the microwave, and you've heard 10 different people talk to you on the way and none of them are actually there. Like,
no, come on. I mean, I think that there are people who have hallucinations when they smoke weed.
I don't know if it's hallucinations or if it's just like you get all these ideas in your head. Like, you're constantly thinking about shit, and like I think some of them just you're listening to them in your head and you're not differentiating that from your existence.
I mean, a lot of shit slows down for me. Like, I remember, I think I've said this on the show before, but like I remember you and I, we watched a Bruins game one night after we smoked, and I was like, I felt like I understood hockey for the first time ever, because like it slowed the game down and I was actually watching them.
Like, you could
skate,
like, follow
patterns
it.
And shit. Like, I could see not just the puck, but the actual pattern of like the movement of the players.
Yeah, their plays.
I don't think
like
that,
when you watch
no,
basketball
listen.
And you can like follow like what they're doing.
No, this wasn't real. Like, I'm confident that I had made all that shit up in my head, that I believed something that wasn't really real.
Because, no, I think it was real, man.
No. I was like, they're skating this like perfect like figure eight where they just swap in and swap out, and I'm like, no, that's bullshit, man. There's no way.
Dude, sometimes during the games it'll be like that. Like, they spend some time on one side, boom, swap out on their way to the other side.
I don't know.
Back and forth and back and forth.
I don't know, man. I don't know. But yeah, dude, like, it's funny. When I smoke weed, like, it's
those rare occasions, man.
I mean, dude, I don't even know the last time I smoked weed. Like,
a few years.
It's been, it was with you when you lived with us. So maybe it was with you after you moved out, but I don't remember smoking with you after you moved out, or I don't know, man. I don't know.
I don't know either.
And I don't know. Like, I could get some grief from this because I am a sober person, but like,
yeah, but you haven't smoked since
Yeah, but what I'm...
You weren't a sober person.
I haven't said what I'm going to say, which is that I don't necessarily think that... Like, I would... I am not opposed to smoking. Because I don't have... Like, I don't smoke. I never do. I never do. And when I do, I don't think I need to do this every day. I usually think I need to not do this again for a very long time. Because I can't handle this. But yeah, dude, I don't know. Anyway, Snoochie Boochies, baby. Snoochie Boochies.
Don't forget the Noochies.
And the Noochies. smoking weed, drinking beers, beers and beers. Dude, Jay and Silent Bob, Jay, really. I mean, it's funny because we talk about Jay and Silent Bob, but it's really just Jay. Like, Silent Bob's just there, you know? You're just waiting for
him. I mean, he's got his, like, silent slapstick bits, you know?
Yeah, he does. He does. But, like, it's so funny because, like, well, because what I was going to say is Jay and Silent Bob are so obnoxious, I don't understand why I love them so much. But, like, Silent Bob's not obnoxious. Like... And when he does talk, he usually is telling Jay how fucking obnoxious he is.
Yeah, or like he's got some like weird wise wisdom. I don't know. Exactly. Wise wisdom. Of course, exactly. It's wise wisdom. Yes. Well, he's got some weird.
You can have, you know, bad wisdom.
Shit.
Like...
Yeah. Okay, that's true.
But yeah.
He's got some shit to say.
He's dropping truth bombs, man.
Exactly. Like, yeah. Exactly. It's not. He. I mean, he's frugal with his words.
Like
that's
in Clerks,
thing.
Man.
Like,
he's like, there's a lot of hot girls out there.
He doesn't speak unless he's got something to say.
What's he says? There's a lot of hot girls out there, but not all of them will bring you lasagna at work. I think that's his line in Clerks. It's so true, but it's too little, too late.
Too okay. little, too late. You said it was a good size.
Yeah, right. Just so you know, when a girl says it's a good size, it means it's not. Dude, I'm watching the movie right now, and the girl's dad, who is played by the actor who plays Merle in The Walking Dead, which I can't like get that out of my head.
Is it the guy that plays Yondu?
Yeah, Yondu. Yeah, the blue guy in Guardians of the Galaxy. Or Merle.
Well, there's more than one blue guy.
Yeah, that's true. But the blue guy, you know, that with the whistling arrow.
Yeah. Yondu.
So anyway, if anybody doesn't know who Yondu is, you might not know his name. I'm just giving some descriptions.
I'm not saying it was a bad description.
Anyway, I just saw him doing naked karate in front of his TV. So I'm glad we watched Mallrats just for the fact I got to see Merle's ass. That was before he got
man, the yakking scenes.
Before he got like stink handed or stink palmed. All right, well, I picked the movie, so I get to pick who does the plot summary. And I mean, I just have so many options. Snacks is here, licking herself, and then there's you. So I'm gonna probably go with you just because Snacks is occupied. So
all right.
Go for it.
Let me know when you're ready.
I'm ready.
It starts out, you got this dude going to pick up his girlfriend. They're going to go to Florida. And somehow he inadvertently got a girl killed. Or got a girl to commit suicide. And
no,
his girlfriend
she
and him
suicide.
Fight and they break up. And so then it cuts
embolism.
To... What?
She had an embolism doing laps in the pool.
Right, she was doing laps because he said something about her size. Mm-hmm. And then so it cuts to his buddy's character, played by Jason Lee, the fucking professional skateboarder.
Mm-hmm. His first major role.
Yeah, he's a funny guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, and his girlfriend breaks up with him, and like... That's a whole scene. And then they're hanging out together. And from there, they go to the mall.
Like,
and
do.
At the mall, craziness ensues. And the way that they talk about the mall, man, is it's like the best fucking place in the world. Like, what backwoods place are they living in? And that's like the best thing.
Maine?
But that's
maybe?
That's kind of the point.
Maine? Like, this is so Maine, dude. Like, this is such the Maine mall. This is totally the mentality our high school friends would have had about the Maine mall.
man, the dirt mall. That was my jam.
the flea market. All right. Well, you've used up a minute and a half.
All right. Well, I got plenty of time. It's not that much. So craziness ensues where they're both like whining about their girlfriends and then wanting their girlfriends. And then, yeah. So they both end up having these separate encounters. So the dad of the first guy's girlfriend is like running this. It's like the premiere of a game show, and he's being filmed in the mall for some fucking reason. Because a premiere where you've never done it before and you don't know how shit's going to go, you definitely do that in a wild environment.
Stop.
Not in a studio.
No more commentary, man.
You
used 2 minutes. You got 3 minutes left.
And the dad hates the guy. And then you meet Jay and Silent Bob. And then Jason Lee's character fucks his ex-girlfriend in the elevator while like sneaking past the dude that she's already started dating or whatever, the douchebag played by Ben Affleck.
Played by the douchebag.
So yeah, craziness ensues. Jay and Silent Bob try to like wreck the show, but it doesn't work because the security guy who never speaks is like good and chases them and shit. And then Silent Bob has like there's a scene after he's dressed up kind of like Batman. He's got the fucking utility belt, like it's like this foam utility belt on underneath his jacket.
2 minutes.
And shoots them up onto like a girder, him and Jay, with like a grappling hook to get away from security. It's
yeah,
dope,
man.
So then you get the dirt mall where Jason Lee's character takes the other guy to see a topless fortune teller who's got three nipples and like freaks Jay out, but like says the perfect things to make
Jay,
the other guy
Brody.
Figure out what's going on.
Freaks
right,
Brody
not Jay.
Out. Yeah.
Brody. Yeah, yeah. Jason Lee's character. Sorry, I fucked that up. And then you get back to the mall and his character gets so Jason Lee's character gets talking to Stan Lee. And Stan Lee's like, you gotta go get the girl you love. And, you know, just got this crazy story, right? And it turns out that he was asked by the buddy to go do that. And he did. It was cool. It was
1 minute.
Nerdy in the best way. Then they get on the game show that the dad is doing. Like, they get these two guys stoned, and they get on the game show. And the ex-girlfriend's, like, asking, it's like a dating game show, and she's asking questions without being able to see who they are. And they're totally playing it up. And so, what's his name, TC or TS, and the girl get back together. And then Jason Lee's character
30 seconds
tries to get his girl back from the stage and ends up, like, playing a video of Ben Affleck's character fucking a 15-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And the security like drops him, gets Ben Affleck, and they get back together.
Yep.
And that's it.
10 seconds.
That's the movie.
Good job, man. Good job. I was worried there. I was worried.
I wasn't.
It's
man.
Funny because I feel like our plot summaries always start off like incredibly detailed. And he was wearing this color shirt, and this is, you know, and then by
it was
the
a
end,
very,
like,
very light, faded pastel periwinkle.
Yeah. yeah, man. That's good. That was good. So I've never seen Mallrats.
You'd never seen Mallrats?
No.
That surprises me, man.
I know. And honestly, so I kind of did a deep dive. So this is what I was talking about when you were like, how many times have you watched it? Or how many times did you watch it in the last week? So I watched it probably 4 times, but I watched the whole View-askew universe. I watched everything in that except for the newest Jay and Silent Bob movie, Jay and Silent Bob Reboot, which came out in 2019. And that's only because I just haven't had time yet.
Have you seen, was it Zach and Miri Make a Porno?
I have seen that, and I mean, that's kind
of... That's got Jason Mewes in it.
I know, like, it's kind of tied in, and that's a Kevin Smith movie. There's also Jersey Girl, which is a Kevin Smith movie, and it's kind of tied in. But, like, there's the core set of movies, which which are Clerks, Mallrats, Chasing Amy, Dogma, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, Clerks 2, and then the Jay and Silent Bob reboot. And then there is like a Jay and Silent Bob's super cartoon movie, which I also watched.
Do you have any of the comic books?
No, Bluntman and what is it? Fucking Chronic, Bluntman and Chronic.
You should get some of that, man.
Yeah, there's also like there was a Clerks animated series that there was like a few episodes of that. There's definitely a lot of pieces that you can get to the universe and put them all together. Now, anyway, so what I was saying is I watched all of that I could. And so for me, most of that was like a first time watch. And it's like, I don't know how intentional Kevin Smith was when he started building this universe, but you know, by the time you get into the later movies, like Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back and Clerks 2 and stuff, like he's really like woven, like he's really put something together. Have you seen Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back?
I've seen all of them except for the rebooted.
Okay, so reboot's supposed to be really, really good too. And it's got a very similar vibe to Strike Back, where it's like very meta, where it's like, can you believe that they'd make a movie out of these two idiot characters? And it's actually, you know, that's exactly what it is. But in this case, it's like, can you believe they'd reboot this series with these two idiot characters?
Right, right.
But yeah, I mean, Strike Back, it ties everything together like in a really, really wild way, like really smart, really like fucking Arrested Development level of like complexity. But
that's saying a lot, man.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
you know, I've seen a lot of connections, but Arrested Development level.
Well, dude, have you ever watched all of them together?
I have not watched them all together.
So you get a lot more.
I've watched
that
like
way.
Clerks 1 and then Clerks 2, but I have not watched all of them. I don't think I've watched all of them within the same year.
There's so much that happens between Clerks 1 and Clerks 2, though, that like, I mean, they all have different names. Like all the movies obviously have different names, but they really all kind of go together. Like skipping from Clerks 1 to Clerks 2 is like you're missing
some of the characters change, though.
Like well, some of the actors, but that's all
are different characters.
That's all a part of it too. So, like in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, Ben Affleck plays like three different characters, and so does Jason Lee. He plays Brody in that, and he also plays his character from Chasing Amy in that. And Ben Affleck plays his character from Chasing Amy in that, and he also plays Ben Affleck in that, and he also plays his character from Good Will Hunting in that. So yeah, they like tie it all together. And then okay, so then there's also the dude who plays Dante in Clerks, who plays Gil in this movie, which they have the same last name, Hicks, Dante Hicks and Gil Hicks. And he plays a bunch of other characters throughout Kevin Smith's movies, all with the last name Hicks. And Kevin Smith, so this is a piece that's like you can't get it from the movies, but according to a Kevin Smith interview, they're all related. That Gil and Dante are cousins, identical cousins is what he calls them.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, there's like a lot of thought put into it. So the girl who dies, Bree, in this movie, is the girl whose funeral they go to in Clerks.
Oh.
Yeah. So this movie is actually technically a prequel to Clerks, because this is like the day after she died, and then Clerks are going to her wake, and usually a wake is like 2 or 3 days after someone dies. So Clerks... So these two take place almost like at the same time, but I'd say this is like a day or two before Clerks.
That's gnarly, man.
Yeah.
I did not put that together.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I didn't, like I said, if you don't watch all of them together, you're not, there's like so much that just is going to feel like it's just for the plot of this movie or for the plot of that movie. And like, you're not, but you know, you pay attention to names and shit like that. A lot of that stuff repeats. So another thing that I was going to mention is at the end of this movie, it says that Jay and Silent Bob go on to like get a pet orangutan named Susan or Suzanne.
Yeah, man.
That happens in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Yeah.
That's how they get the orangutan. So yeah,
and
man,
there's a scene of them like walking down the road like that.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, it's pretty good, man. Like I go through these periods where I really,
and that doesn't
like,
happen for a while though, does it?
No. Cause I mean,
that's a few years later.
That movie was made like almost a decade now, like 5 or 6 years later. I think it was 01 that Strike Back was made. But anyway, I go through these phases where I really like to watch, like, you know, I watch all the X-Men movies or like watch all the Planet of the Apes movies or like we did Lord of the Rings, you know, did all the Lord of the Rings, did all the Hobbit movies. Like I really like,
yeah,
to watch,
you
want to,
you want to feast on all
exactly,
the data
exactly
of that world.
So for me, this past week was fucking amazing because I discovered this whole universe that I didn't realize was like so robust and so full, because it just seems like these like buddy stoner movies. And honestly, at a level, that's what they are. And they're great at that level. Like Mallrats is a great movie by itself. But it also is very cool to fit in as a piece of Kevin Smith's universe that he built.
That makes me want to watch them all together now.
Do it, man. So I also have to say this.
But should you watch them chronologically from the time that they were released? Or should you put them in order of the time that they happened?
So,
i.e. watching Mallrats first.
What order do you watch Star Wars in?
The order it was released.
I watch them in the order that, in the chronological order. So I would watch, I didn't know when I first started the order.
I mean, I have watched them in order of like story, but
yeah, the chronological
generally
order,
speaking,
yeah.
I would do it chronologically based on when they were released.
Yeah, I don't. And like same with like C.S. Lewis's like Chronicles of Narnia books. I read those in the order of the story, not in the order that they
yeah.
were made.
Well, that makes sense because the characters are aging in that, you know, like direction, and they change.
Right. So anyway, I would definitely recommend like watching them all together. You get some, it's fun. It's fun. And that's the thing is like, it's less strict where like a lot of these series, like they piece together, like they build a story together, you know, like what you can't just watch Fellowship of the Ring. Like you can't like, by itself, it's
that's not a complete story.
Exactly.
But all of these movies do ride pretty well by themselves.
Exactly. So watching them together is like fun, and like it's a lot of Easter eggs, and it's a lot of like jokes that are, that there's humor in the way they piece together that you don't get if you don't realize how they're connected. But yeah, they're all fine on their own. So watching them together just kind of adds another sort of fun little layer to it. But anyway, yeah, Mallrats, man. Like, this reminds me so much of, like, high school. And I don't know if it's like this in every town, every state. Like, in Maine, if you grew up in Maine, the Maine Mall was a destination. It was a place you went. You know, it was a thing to do.
I mean, kids would get dropped off at the mall. There's not many malls in the state.
No.
There's some plazas.
Well, no, that's why it's called the Maine Mall. I mean, I can't speak to this, and maybe Steve could shoot me a message because they're from like up in, you know, they're up in like central Maine. Maybe he can let me know. Like, I don't know. Was the Maine Mall such a destination that they were coming from, like, you know, an hour and a half away?
Well, I think there's a mall in Bangor as well.
But it's not the Maine Mall. So
no,
I'm just interested to know if it's like, because, you know, we were pretty far out, but there was no mall closer to us.
There was no anything closer to us. Dave.
There was the Wyndham Mall, but if you wanted to go to Rennie's.
They called that a mall, that little plaza.
Yeah,
space.
The Wyndham Mall. No, dude, there was indoor walking, so it's definitely a mall.
Oh,
it's not a strip.
The one
mall.
Attached to the grocery store. Yeah.
Yeah, and the movie theater was in there and shit. Yeah, dude, for sure.
Yep.
And I think Thatcher's was in there. I don't know, dude.
I mean, they had like 8 places in there, right?
Yeah.
Like the card store.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there you go, man. But
my buddy's dad owned that movie theater.
Yeah. Did you get free? Yeah, did you get to go see movies for free there?
I went and I saw a couple movies with him.
Nice.
It was back in high school. Yeah. So like, I mean, organizing rides when having a vehicle wasn't as consistent back then was difficult.
It's hard,
but
it's hard.
Yeah,
man.
I got to see a few things.
I saw Small Soldiers there, which seems like a million years ago. It was a long time ago.
That was a million years ago. A million and three.
Yeah.
That was just dug up in an archaeological dig.
I went through my movie tickets the other day because I was saddened to hear that Cinemagic is closing their doors for good. So I took a picture of all my old Cinemagic ticket stubs, and I had a bunch.
We were just trying to figure out what to do with the kids this weekend, and we were like, let's check out Smitty's. And their website was like, oh, we got, you know, this movie playing this time, and this movie playing this time. And then I went to go, like, get tickets, and it, like, wouldn't let me get it, like, it wouldn't show any times to buy tickets. So I got to call and see if they're actually open or not, because the website
made it seem like they were. Or not shady, but pretty shitty. It's like it was built in like the 90s.
And then left alone.
Yeah, and then left alone. Anyway,
yeah,
I feel like we haven't focused a lot on Mallrats, but what I wanted to say, like, I get the idea of like kids just hanging out at the mall. Now granted, these guys aren't kids. Like they're you know, they're in college.
They were in college.
Yeah, they're in college. So they're like not in high school. Yeah, so there's just so many great shenanigans going on. And I get there being a show being recorded there. Like, I know in bigger malls outside of Maine, like, they do a lot of concerts and stuff at malls.
Yeah, no, I totally understand the mall having that.
Yeah.
But it's like, why did it have to be the premiere?
Well, maybe because, like, okay, so it's for the sake of the movie, but I could see, like, saying, okay, we don't want to give you studio space. We don't want to build you a studio until we actually know that your thing's not going to suck. And so how do we get an audience?
Oh, that makes sense.
How do we get an
audience?
Because
he was, like, trying to suck up to those corporate dudes.
Exactly. So it's like, how do we get an audience? How do we put it in a space that's not going to cost us a bunch of money? Mall makes perfect sense, you know? I really like this. What I liked about this movie is, like, you get a lot. You get to really see Kevin Smith having money to work with for the first time, because he made Clerks for like $25,000. I mean, post production they got a bunch more money to promote it, but they only had like $25,000 to make the movie. But because it did so well, you know, because people responded to it so well, they got some money, you know, and they had $6 million to make this movie. And so you get all the same, like, great sort of cutting dialogue that you get from Clerks, but you get to, like, he gets the playground's way bigger, you know? In Clerks, it's like we're secluding this. It's got to be a small story in a small space because that's what we can afford to do. But in Mallrats, it was like, oh, shit. Like, we don't just have one store. We got a whole whole mall to play in, you know? And so
with
many,
a couple of field trips.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, technically there were field trips in Clerks, although there was a field trip and you don't actually see what happens inside. But yeah, so like, you know, you get a lot of cool stuff. Like you get the swinging on the rope, you know, with Silent Bob, and you get the, yeah, you get, they go to the flea market and see the three nippled topless fortune teller, and you know,
whatever you do, don't lose that nipple.
Yeah.
And
which
then
is
she
not
eats
even
it.
Real. I know. What was
like
it?
Like a fucking gummy.
Why would you eat it? What was it? Was it like a gummy? I mean, I would have thought it was latex, but
I would have thought it was like latex too, because it was stuck on pretty good,
and
right?
Then I was like, maybe it's
she
a
had
pepperoni.
To like peel it off, but she ate it, so it must have been like I don't know, some like dough or something.
Maybe it's a pepperoni, man. but yeah, like I just felt like I felt like they took the same humor from Clerks and they just kind of like they expanded on a lot of it, and I thought they did it really well. And the critics didn't really agree, like critics didn't love Mallrats, but I just think it's super fun. And you know, I think Jay and Silent Bob really starting to evolve in this movie is great. You also get so many new collaborations in Kevin Smith's world that go on to be super significant throughout his movies, like Ben Affleck and like Jason Lee, who, you know, they add so much. Jason Lee is so good. He's a great actor.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a funny guy.
Like he's really good in this, and he's really good in Chasing Amy. Like he's, yeah. Like,
he feels very natural.
They like no offense to the guys in Clerks, like they're very good, but they're like, I don't know, Ben Affleck and Jason Lee add something that's like next level.
Mm-hmm.
This movie feels like a movie where Clerks felt like a film school project.
Yeah, I can definitely see that.
So yeah, man, I had a lot of fun watching it. I had a lot of fun getting into Kevin Smith's world. I will say this before I kind of hand it off to you to say some of your thoughts about it. But I did post a poll to Twitter asking people's favorite movie from the View Askew universe. And it was liked, my poll and a bunch of my comments and shit on the poll were all liked by the man himself, Kevin Smith.
Dope, man.
Yes, like the official blue check mark Kevin Smith account. I tried to get him to actually say which of the movies was his favorite, but he did not respond to that. But yeah, that was very cool. And because of that, the poll has gotten like 1500 votes.
Sweet.
With about 42% of people prefer Dogma as their favorite of the set. And actually, I said I had never seen any of Kevin Smith's movies. I had seen Dogma. I've seen Dogma a couple times, just as a standalone movie. But yeah, Dogma seems to be dominating.
Man, that had an interestingly big cast as well.
Yeah, and honestly, like, you know, if you watch these movies in the order that they're made, you see, like, the story's getting bigger. Because, like, Clerks...
And the more locations and like,
yeah,
it just, you get more and more and more.
I mean, okay. So just look at the characters, right? Clerks, it's a couple losers who are just literally doing nothing. Bad things happen and they literally are just like, whatever, fuck it. Mallrats, you got a couple of losers, but they're in college, which is something the first two guys couldn't even do. And when bad things happen and their girlfriends are trying to break up with them, they take action to try to stop that from happening. Then, in Chasing Amy, you have two guys who are not losers. They're comic book writers who are pretty successful. And it's a story about them and one of them trying to convince a lesbian to fall in love with him. And then, in Dogma... So you've gone from losers to successful people. In Dogma, you have guys who are not even human. They're angelic. But to be fair, they are still losers. And that's the thing with Kevin Smith's characters is at their hearts, they're always losers. Because that's what we all feel. I mean, that's a Gen X kind of vibe, is like, we all feel like, fuck, like, I can't, like, get out of my own way. And his characters really resonate with that. But yeah, you definitely have this sort of trajectory throughout his films of, like, bigger and more, especially through those first four. And then Jay and Silent Bob is kind of like this great, or Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back is kind of like this great way to, like, wrap that all up with a nice bow. That movie's, like, super meta. But anyway. So, yeah, Kevin Smith liked my Twitter poll, and so that got up my physical poll in my pants. Bingo, bongo. I can't remember which movie it was in, but was it Clerks 2? He's like, dude, I think I just filled the cup, because he puts a cup over his erection. Anyway, what did you think of Mallrats?
Man, I've seen Mallrats several times. I've seen, like I said, all the movies multiple times. Never, like, in the same year, but I've seen, you know, there's been times that I've seen, like, Dogma, like, three times in a year, but not seen one of the other ones. But I've, you know, I've seen them all.
Dude, Jason Lee dancing after him and his ex-girlfriend have sex is one of the greatest scenes in the movie.
There's a lot of really fun scenes and funny scenes. Like, they really used the slapstick part of this very well.
Yeah.
Like when Jason Lee's character is talking to T.S. And they're walking through the mall, and he says, oh, what the fuck does he say? You face forward, or you face the possibility of shock and damage, and turns around and immediately runs into, like, a giant pole of metal someone's carrying.
Yeah. Yes.
So there's several things like that, or, like, the Jedi mind tricks that
Silent Bob.
Kevin Smith's Silent Bob character is trying to do.
Yes.
That, in the end, look like they work. Right. And, like, it's, like, amazing. I mean, they don't actually work, of course, but it seems like that, and it's amazing.
Yep.
I don't remember the name of that actor that ends up, like, hitting the stage piece and it jumps the movie up. But his part with the
William
magic
Black.
Eye,
I don't know the actor either, but yeah, the character's name, I think is William. No, William Black, I think, is the character's
Willem.
Name. Willem. Oh, all right. Anyway, he's great.
Yeah,
in,
I don't remember, he's
in Remember the Titans, right?
Yeah, he does a great job in that movie.
Yeah, yeah.
In this movie, he has a very small role, but it's reoccurring, and it's, like, sad but endearing at the same time.
Dude, I get it, man. I can't fucking see Magic Eye. I totally get his frustration. Like, the only difference between him and I is that he's dedicated. Because, like, when I realized I couldn't see Magic Eyes, I was like, fuck Magic Eyes. I never even want to see one ever again.
And he's willing to stand there with a fucking drink and a bagged lunch.
I brought my lunch.
While everyone walks by. Oh, man. That one scene where the little kids come up. And everyone all day has been like, oh, it's a sailboat. Like, almost immediately, and he's getting pissed. And this one little girl's like, oh, it's a schooner. And he, like, is so excited.
She's
shoving her face,
schooner.
Like, you're wrong.
You little...
And then that other little boy has to explain that a schooner is a sailboat. And yeah. it's just, oh, my God. Like, that's just terrible.
That's good.
In that moment.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't want to be there and see that in real life. It'd be painful. And there's a lot of different things.
The Easter
like
Bunny
that.
Isn't real. That's just a guy in a suit.
Oh, man. The Easter Bunny gets brought up so many times and then gets
He's
beat up by Jay and Silent Bob.
I know. He gets beat up by Jay and Silent Bob because it's just something that, like, that Brody just says offhand.
Right. Ben Affleck actually beat him up.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to say that. So he was like, oh, it's just the Easter Bunny. Oh, no, don't worry about it.
Yeah. But they do, because they're good friends, man. Jay and Silent Bob, man. They don't leave their friends hanging.
No. Dedicated. Man, the Jason Mewes, like, licking his fingertips with the metal horns and, like, smoothing out his eyelashes and, like, dancing up to girls.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
He's great.
That character is just so ridiculous.
Yeah, it's like he's the perfect, like, you just hate him but you love him. He's just adorably, like, horrible, you know?
Yes. Deplorable and stupid, but, like, he has a loyalty to him, and like he you know, he thinks he's got wisdom.
Yeah, yeah, he does, but he's always, like, saying stupid shit. But yeah, he's,
I feel like I can relate, man.
Yeah, right. You know,
metal music, getting stoned.
Yeah,
speaking,
dude.
Bullshit,
smoking blunts, drinking beers. Yeah, and you know, you only get to start to see that in Clerks. But yeah, in Mallrats, they really, really developed those characters. That's kind of where those characters were really, really born, you know?
That, and like, you get, this movie has that, but then, like, they have some snippets where it's just them.
Yeah.
Like when they're running away and they've got the grappling hook, or when Silent Bob and Jay have, like, the blueprints and they're trying to figure out how to fuck up the stage.
Yeah.
Silent Bob busts through the changing room wall twice.
Yep. Actually, I just watched the scene where she's changing her underwear out in the middle of the store. And he's like, you know, they have changing rooms for that. She's like, some asshole is busted through the wall twice because he wanted to see me naked. I figured I'd save him the trouble. That's a good scene. I like that. Or that's a good bit.
There's lots of little bits in,
dude,
this.
So two that I really love. One is, like, what, in the back of a Volkswagen or something?
Yeah.
Like,
that's a great running joke.
And, like, three, like, unrelated characters mention it, right? Like, who are,
right, and
who,
it's always mentioned the exact same way, like,
yeah,
definitely not. Everyone knows what you're talking about. But they just, like, stupidly say it.
And then the other one that I really love is that T.S.'s girlfriend, or no, Brody's girlfriend talks about how fucking Ben Affleck's character, what the fuck was his name? I can't remember his name. It's Shannon.
Right.
So she talks about how Shannon took her to, like, oh, you buy me, like, take me to the stores I want to go to, take me golfing, doing this and doing that. And then they're on the game show. And she asked Gil what his perfect date would be. And he literally says all the exact same things that Shannon,
right,
had
then,
done with
and
her.
Then Jason Lee calls him out and he's like, that's a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah. Jason Lee is fantastic in that scene when they're on the
stage.
Which
is why he gets his own talk show.
Yeah, he does, man. Takes over for the Tonight Show. I would watch that Tonight Show, man. 100%.
I would absolutely watch that Tonight Show. Although the outfit they put him in and the way they do his hair for that is the worst part of the movie.
It's all right. They want him to look cheesy. That's the point.
I don't know, man. It's crazy. But the girlfriend's dad,
Merle,
reacting to, yeah, Merle or whatever, reacting to the corporate dudes when they're like, nah, your show sucks. And then they hire him and he's like, him? And he gets, like, he's freaking out all the time that he's been throwing up because he licked the stink palm.
Stink palm, like, baby. Dude, he's like licking the chocolate off his hand.
Yeah,
from a pretzel.
And like sucking his fingers and stuff. Mm,
they shoot that real nice, really close up. Very.
So dirty, man. Yeah. So dirty.
Yep.
That scene was as uncomfortable as any other crazy scene in the movie. Like,
yep.
I don't know. There's so many fun little things in this movie. So anyway, what I started with saying was I've definitely seen this multiple times before. I didn't remember liking it this much, though. Like, I feel like this was the time that I appreciated it the most, being able to look back on it. This is the first time I've been able to look back on it nostalgically.
Yep.
Like, before, it was just like, oh, yeah, this is a movie I've seen before. But now it's been there for so long that I have the nostalgia, and it's got you know, the music that's older, and it's like it.
Dude,
it's,
the music's great.
It's aging well.
Yeah. What is it that was it Weezer at the end there during the credits?
I don't remember.
It's got a lot of great music. I mean, I think I like the music in Clerks better, but I mean, it's great in both of these movies.
Yeah, the music is great. I mean, they use the setting well. I mean, they don't do anything amazing with the way they film or anything like that, but that's not what they're going for.
No, and that's what I was saying before about, like, when you talk about, like, Lord of the Rings and, like, what that is, what, you know, I think during the Lord of the Rings, I was like, this is why movies are made, right? And, like, in a way, like, I do believe that, but, like, this movie is such a different animal, and it is also, like, a really great story to tell and a really great movie, in just in such a different way. And that's why, like, I always struggle when we score movies and stuff, because, I mean, it's just so, they're so different. They're so different. How can you put them on the same scale, you know?
Yeah, this definitely is not anywhere near the same scale as a Lord of the Rings, but for what it is, it's really good.
Right, right. It's just a different thing. It's a different thing altogether, you know?
Right.
It's not
exactly
not even that it's like a, it's not even that it's on a different scale. It's like, you know, it's not like Lord of the Rings on a lower scale. It's like in a whole different, you know, it's they're just two totally different things altogether.
Right.
I don't really know how to describe that in a better way, which I realize is probably not great for podcasting to just keep saying they're different things. But like, you know, it really shows you the breadth of like what a movie can be, you know, going from something like Lord of the Rings.
That's
to something
a good
like
thing
this.
To add.
Yeah.
Not just what it can be, but like that it's more accessible.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, these movies, I mean, Kevin Smith gets more money and the production goes up and the things and the places go up, but all of them carry a feel of this is a smaller company. This isn't a massive Hollywood movie. And it gives you that accessibility of like, you know, if anyone had this dream and worked hard for it, they could end up building this type of a universe.
Well, it's like the movie, the
there's appreciation in that as well.
The making, like the behind the scenes, when you watch it, like, and you're thinking about the making it, but also the characters in it, you know, and like that's a true thing of all of Kevin Smith's characters, whether they're angels or they're just people working at a convenience store. Like these feel like people that you connect with, you know what I mean? They feel like you know. Just like down to earth people who kind of feel like sometimes they get kicked in the nuts by life and there's not a whole lot they can do about it.
Man, life wears steel toed boots.
She can be a real bitch.
Fucking shivs.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure, man. All right, dude. Do you, you want to score it and give your metal moment?
I'm going to give it a 7. It's solidly funny.
Yep.
It doesn't have the rewatchability of a lot of other things. Like, I don't want to go watch this again for a while.
You got to, man. You got to go watch. You got to watch through these, man. I'm
like, I want to go watch all of them like the way that I should, but I don't know if I love it that much to do that right now. I mean, it's a good movie. It's fun. It's funny. But at the end of the day, it's just a silly, ridiculous thing. So 7 is the best I can do for it.
Okay.
But I was very happy watching. More so than I have been in the past. And so I feel like when I was going into watching it, I was thinking, oh man, this is going to get like a 6, a 6.5. And then I watched it and
you're like, wow, I bumped that up a 7. A half point.
But I'm bumping it up, man. Like, yeah. It was better than my expectations.
That's good. That's
even
good.
Though I've seen it. So yeah. That's exciting.
Yeah.
And I am excited to hear that you hadn't seen it before. That makes it more fun as well. Man, the metal moments. There are some good ones. I want to pick a couple.
No. I'll let you loop around if I don't pick it. But come on, man. Don't fuck me over.
Okay. I'm going to say it's when Jason Lee is telling the masturbating on the plane story. and he's talking about how, like, what was his cousin that it whipped it out and was, you know, smacking it around. And then all the other people on the plane did the same thing because they all thought they were going to die. And then...
they didn't die.
The plane righted itself, so they put it away.
Yep.
And then Gil's character is like, well, did they come? And Jason Lee is like astounded and blown away. He's like, some things you just don't talk about. Yeah. Like, so aghast that he would be asked that. Yes. And it's perfect timing, and it's the perfect attitude for what's going on. And having Gil say that then fits that character perfectly, but having Jason Lee's character right the way we've been talking a long ass time, man.
I know, dude.
So I guess that's what I'm gonna go with that scene.
He's got so many great stories. That story he tells at the very beginning about the cat and the ass. How are they gonna get the gerbil? Like, what a great way to start the movie. That's good, man. Okay, so I'm going to take a little bit of an issue with something you said. First of all, I'm probably going to give the movie an 8. And you said, you know, at the end of the day, it's just the silly, like, comedy. And what sort of elevates it a little bit above that is, like, yes, it's a silly comedy, but you definitely see a lot of intentionality to, like, smart humor in it that is, like, below the surface of just like a stoner comedy, because there is definitely a surface level stoner comedy here. But there's a lot more humor to it when you peel back the layers a little bit.
I would agree. This definitely has a lot of layers.
So it's starting to really show, the complexity of Kevin Smith's, ability to like tell stories, and use humor in a really smart way. I also have to give it huge props for probably the best Stan Lee cameo in any movie I've ever seen.
I would agree.
It's a long cameo. And
it's a small part.
It is
a cameo, man.
I know it really is. And it's great. And Stanley is so young and vibrant in it. Like he's still got a salt and pepper beard. Like he's still, you know.
Yeah, but what is going on with that wig?
I don't know, man. But he's adorable in it, and I love him. And I love that he is
deceiving in that. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
For fun.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, but dude, you got to talk to your friend, man, because like he has a problem. Like he's obsessed with superhero sex lives or sex organs.
Yeah. Yeah, and TS is like, yeah, I know.
Yeah, yeah, I get it. Yeah, man. So I love his cameo in it. I love that you're starting to see more of like, so in Clerks, you get a taste of like their sort of their love of geek culture when they have the conversation about the Death Star and like all the people on the Death Star that were like contractors and how it wasn't right that they all got killed. But in right. this movie, you start to really see it. Like you get some comic book stuff. Like Brody has this great line when they go to the flea market. And they go past he's looking through the comic books. He's like, dude, you should really be bored in these books. Like that's a comic book guy thing. Like I'm guessing that the average person doesn't know that it's important to board comic books, or right. even what that means. So you're starting to really see that.
And you got to send them away with the puppies, man.
Yeah. and yeah, send, yeah, boarding. I get it. And then obviously there's some Batman references in this one. And then there's
some great ones.
There's the love of Stan Lee. And then, you know, when Brody's talking to Stan Lee, he asks him a bunch of questions about certain superheroes and, like, obviously showing some knowledge there. Heavily, like, on the Fantastic Four, because he talks about Mr. Fantastic and he talks about The Thing.
The Thing. Yep.
And then there's also, like, the thing about Superman and how Superman, I think that was in Mallrats.
How Superman, yeah, couldn't, how the only woman that could handle his baby is Wonder Woman.
Right, exactly.
He's gonna jizz like a shotgun.
Exactly. So,
but those aren't the only, like, it's got a lot of that stuff, and, you know, he mentions, like, specific comics.
Yeah.
But then you also have Jason Mewes pretending he's Wolverine.
Yep.
And doing the schnickety snick.
Yep.
With the, yeah. And, like, pretending. And then Jason Lee's trying to explain that to his buddy.
Yes.
Like, what he's doing.
Yep.
But then, so you get, like, all of the, like, nerd culture. But then you also get, like, this built-in Easter egg nerd culture for his own universe. I mean, they try on a Clerks hat in the dirt mall.
Right. Which, by the way, like, you, there's a couple things to note here. One is that nerd culture was not mainstream in the mid-90s.
No,
this was before, not at all. This was before the superhero movies started booming. This was before the Spider-Man movies. This was before the X-Men movies. And so, like, this was not, like, this would be fine now. Like, nobody would think twice about this. This is just culture. This isn't even nerd culture anymore. I mean, Kevin
Smith.
But no one
knew what they were talking about at this time.
Kevin Smith is mainstream at this point. You know, Stan Lee is a god at this point. You know, he's been deified outside of the nerd world, like, just in the mainstream world. Everyone know, my kids know who Stan Lee is. Like, you know, so yeah, like, this is a different time.
Do they visit a shrine in a closet?
No.
No.
No. Because I don't...
He's earned some.
Listen, dude. You know my feelings. Like, I'm not a huge fan of, like, the Marvel and DC universe. Universes. But, yeah. Respect for Stan Lee, of course.
I mean, it's not just the universes. I mean, he drove the fucking car of superheroes through history.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. I mean, he was a critical part of comic book history, no doubt. No doubt about it. Like, but...
on epic proportions.
Yeah, I mean, but there's a sort of a Steve Jobs element there where he gets a lot of credit for things that don't necessarily belong to him. Like, a lot of credit for stuff that belonged to Jack Kirby and a lot of stuff that belonged to a lot of other people.
Oh, that's true.
Like, Stan Lee is just a figurehead, which is totally fine. But, like, the point being is, like, a lot of the things that you see in this movie play very differently now than they would have in the mid-90s. Like, the fact that this no-name movie got a Stan Lee cameo that lasts, like, 3 minutes, you know, when most of the Marvel movies that Disney made had, like, 30-second Stan Lee cameos with, like, one line. It just shows you how different the world is now than it was then.
So different.
But, yeah. So, anyway, I give it an 8. It is, honestly, like, these kind of comedies do not usually hit for me. But because of everything else that's there, the layers that are there, the Easter eggs that are there, the tie-ins with the other movies that are there, and the amazing performances by Jason Lee and what the fuck's the girl's name, their friend, what the fuck is her name, she goes on to star in Chasing Amy, Joey, is her name Joey something,
yeah, yep,
Joey Lauren Adams, yeah, so she's really great in this too. And, like, the fact that this launched Jason Lee's career, and I did not realize this, but like Ben Affleck was basically not making movies at this point. Like he hadn't become Ben Affleck yet. And so this was kind of like a, this was kind of like a bigger role for him. And then obviously like he's the lead in Chasing Amy. And so like that really like boosted him. And that was before he became like a huge A-lister. So yeah, so that's also really interesting. And so this movie plays an interesting part in their sort of careers and stories. My metal moment, man, what's my metal moment? There's just like, there's a lot of really great moments. I'm going to say when, they kick on the tape of, Shannon banging the underage girl and, you know,
and she looks so bored
and he gets his,
was she like watching a watch?
Yeah. Well, 'cause she was doing research, right?
Right.
They're like pretty flippant about dudes with underage girls in Kevin Smith's movies. I mean, they're never, it's never considered a good thing, but it's never considered like this horrible thing either. But that's interesting. That's a whole nother conversation. Anyway, the fact that Shannon finally gets his comeuppance and that, you know, they, and the two loser guys finally get, you know, get a win. It's kind of the culmination of the film. And so I'm going to call that my metal moment. Yeah. Well, you said you had others.
That's a good one.
You said you had others. What was another one that you were going to mention?
Man, another one. Okay, so when they first get into the mall and Brody's like, I know what you need, man. You need the mall. T.S. says that he'd rather be involved in ritual suicide than the mall. And Brody's response is like, you want to get a cookie? Like, yeah. He's like, he's so much in love with the mall. And then, oh, man, and then they fight over if the cookie place is part of the food court.
Of the food court or not. Would you consider that part of the food court? Yeah, I wouldn't. I wouldn't.
No, it's not even on the same floor.
I mean, we only had a single floor mall, but like you remember, like Gloria Jean's and the Pretzel Time were down by Best Buy. Definitely not part of the food court.
Right.
And
they weren't the only place.
No. Wait, there were other food places outside
of
the
food court? Just a few places that you could get food.
Yeah. But there's like a there is definitely like a defined food court. But the worst, yeah. worse than food places outside of the food court are restaurants inside the food court. Like, don't waste food court space with a sit-in, dine-in restaurant, you know? Like, that's a waste
that's
of
lame.
Space. Like, build that out in the fucking parking lot, you know? I hate that.
Hate it.
Dude, I just saw the part, because, like, it's still on. I just saw the part where the topless, fortune teller takes off her top, and dude, that is like, that reminds me of like a Mel Brooks scene. Like, that's a real Mel Brooks kind of vibe right there.
Yeah,
anyway, just thought I'd throw that in there.
I completely agree, man.
Well, dude, I think we're good, man.
I feel like we've kind of exhausted it. Like, we've talked a lot.
We have talked,
we've talked
a lot.
A little about the movie.
A little bit. I mean, this is our show, man. This is what we do.
It's a movie I would recommend if you haven't seen it.
Yes, I would recommend.
I think it's an interesting watch. If you haven't seen it, it's definitely one that can help open your eyes to different styles. If you don't know Kevin Smith movies, it's kind of like you know Tarantino movies. You know what you're going to get. It's his own thing. Kevin Smith is his own thing. You know you're going to get a Kevin Smith movie. But if you haven't watched a Kevin Smith movie, you should try. It's a new experience.
Now, if you were going to tell somebody to watch, if they've never seen a Kevin Smith movie, would this be the one that you'd tell them to watch?
Oh, man, that's hard.
That's what she said.
Chasing Amy is really good.
I think it would depend on the audience. Like, I think
it would, too. This one's, like, super nerdy.
Yeah. I mean, I think that I would probably tell most people Dogma, just because it's the most, I don't know, it's like the biggest story of all of them. And like, I feel like where like Mallrats leans heavily on like 90s culture and nerd culture, like Dogma talks a lot more about religion, which I think is a little bit more universal. Plus you have amazing performances by Ben Affleck and Matt Damon. Like, they're both just fantastic in it.
Yeah, they do a great job.
Chris Rock is so good in it too. And fucking, what's his name? Snape. Rickman. Alan Rickman.
Yep.
He's great in it too. So like, yeah. Yeah.
And Alanis Morissette.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, she's good, but she doesn't have any lines. Yeah, that movie's really, really good. I think that that's the one that I would recommend to people. But like, I think I don't know, if you were more into like romantic comedies, Chasing Amy is definitely much more of that kind of vibe. But if you're like a nerd, definitely like this would be a good nerd movie.
It is. Yeah. I mean, you don't have to be a nerd to enjoy the movie, but you'd understand more of it.
Yeah. Or if you're like, oh, I really like Empire Records. That's what I kept thinking. I was like, this is like a better Empire Records.
I can see that a bit. I don't know if I want to say better, because I really like Empire Records.
It's better in the sense that like, it's got a lot more depth to it than Empire Records.
Yep.
Empire Records is like a pretty straightforward movie, which is fine. It's really good. I love it. But this has a lot more to it. And speaking of Empire Records, Liv Tyler is in Empire Records. She's in Lord of the Rings. And she is in Jersey Girl, which is another Kevin Smith movie, but not officially part of the Viewisk universe. There's no Jay and Silent Bob in it.
Okay.
So. Yeah, man. All right. Well, listen, if anybody has any opinions about this, Kevin Smith, if you listen to this episode because you're so interested in what a couple of idiots think about your movie that you made 25 years ago, hit us up. We're at The Movie Cellar on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. We're all those places. You can email us at themovieseller@gmail.com. We are taking donations for the JDRF. You can find our campaign link on all of our social media. And if for some reason you go there and you can't see it, message us and I'll let you know where it is. And if you donate $5 to the JDRF, you'll get a link to our Trash Bash event, which is coming up at the beginning of May.
That's coming up fast.
Yeah,
man.
It's a triple feature of our friends at Dungeon Entertainment, their short horror films, and a bunch of other cool shit. If you, we're going to have a bunch of other cool videos. And if you donate $10 to the JDRF, then you get the link to the event. Plus, you get a swag pack full of like stickers,
swag pack,
coasters. The guys at On Second Watch sent me coasters to include. So that's cool.
What?
Yeah, I thought that was.
I
pretty
want a
rad.
Coaster.
And
I
you
need
get...
I need a coaster. My coffee table's getting fucked up.
Okay, I need to ask you an important question. All right. So right now, I made it so that you get entered in the raffle if you donate $10 or more. Do you think that everyone who donates $5 or more should get entered into the raffle? Everybody who donates should get entered in the raffle.
Nah, man.
So you think we should stick with $10 or more?
We've rocked the tier system, you know, the whole time.
Well, the raffle's a different thing. The raffle's like a one person's going to win this.
Well, I know, but like, it's like they're buying a raffle ticket. You know, when you go somewhere that's got raffle tickets, you don't go there and you automatically get a raffle ticket with your entry
price.
Some
places you do. Some places you do. Your entry ticket is a raffle ticket. I'm just saying. We could make it so that you $5 gets you one ticket, $10 gets you three. You know? I don't know. If anyone has an opinion about this, let us know. I know Trev had an opinion. He thinks we should make it at the $5 level. Trev is making us a mixtape to include into this, which is very exciting. He's been reaching out to some of the awesome musicians that he's had on the Struggling Artist podcast and actually getting permission. So this is going to be like an official mixtape that is endorsed by the bands on it. It's going to be so
cool.
That's
awesome.
Yes. So $10 will definitely get you a raffle ticket, get you a swag pack. $20, get you a raffle ticket, get you a swag pack, get you a link to the event, and we'll send you a DVD in your swag pack of the triple feature. $50, we only have 2 sponsor spots left. $50 makes you a sponsor.
Fast.
I know. $50 makes you a sponsor. You join shows like the Dopey Podcast. You join shows like 3 Hours Later. You join, you know, great people like Jack Thorne and our boy Zach. These are all sponsors, okay? You can be a sponsor too. You get a little video clip that you get to throw into the event. You can promote whatever the fuck you want to promote. And you get all the
even
other
if it's
cool
just
shit.
Fuck Dan.
Even if it's just Fuck Dan, you can say it for 30 seconds or a minute or 2 minutes. I don't even care. For $50 to the JDRF. Because all we're trying to do is help find a cure for type 1 diabetes. My daughter, man, I almost cried the other day. Because we have been trying so hard to get her an insulin pump. And it's just been such a runaround with the insurance company and everything. And finally, it finally came the other day. And she was just ecstatic. And so it's still like, we've got to go through some steps with going into the doctor. The doctor's going to walk us through it. We'll do it with saline for a few days. And then we'll go back and we'll really do it. But once she has the pump on, it hooks up to her Dexcom, which reads her blood sugar. And so it will distribute insulin as she needs it. And then, like, she'll have to put in stuff when she eats and everything. But, like, it's going to be a real life changer. So that's really exciting. And, you know, the JDRF is doing a lot of cool stuff with trying to make, you know, they're trying to find a cure. That's a big part of it. But another big part of it is, like, just trying to make the lives of type 1 diabetics better by, like, participating in research to make things like this work. Having type 1 diabetes today is not like it was 20 years ago or even 10 years ago because of company or like organizations like the JDRF who are like really fucking putting in work and people like all you guys who are donating to make it happen. So, you know, it's cool. It's really cool shit. So anyway, fucking watch Clerks, fucking watch Mallrats. Fucking
and
at Kevin Smith.
Done. When you're done with the Kevin Smith movies, watch The Matrix.
Yes.
Watch Mad Max.
Should they watch the Matrix trilogy? Oh, okay. Bye. I was going to ask if they should watch The Matrix trilogy or just the first Matrix.
That doesn't need to be brought up.
Yeah. This is staying in. Chris, leave this in. Now say goodbye.
This is the postscript shit.
Bye-bye,
all right.
Mr.
Secret,
American
secret
bye.
Bye-byes.
Draw my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was...
It was fucking dry, man.
Bye-bye.